Thomas Paine wrote a number of publications before Common Sense, for which he is most famous, and which was responsible for fomenting the American Revolution. This short tract against slavery was one of his first. It reads thus: African Slavery in America, by Thomas Paine, published March 8, 1775. To Americans. That some desperate wretches should be willing to steal and enslave men by violence and murder for gain is rather lamentable than strange. But that many civilized, nay, Christianized people should approve and be concerned in the savage practice is surprising, and still persist, though it has been so often proved contrary to the light of nature, to every principle of justice and humanity, and even good policy, by a succession of eminent men and several late publications. Our traders in men, an unnatural commodity, must know the wickedness of that slave trade, if they attend to reasoning, or the dictates of their own hearts, and such as shun and stifle all these willfully sacrifice conscience and the character of integrity to that golden idol. The managers of that trade themselves and others testify that many of these African nations inhabit fertile countries, are industrious farmers, enjoy plenty, and lived quietly, adverse to war, before the Europeans debauched them with liquors, and bribing them against one another, and that these inoffensive people are brought into slavery by stealing them, tempting kings to sell subjects, which they can have no right to do, and hiring one tribe to war against another in order to catch prisoners. By such wicked and inhuman ways, the English are said to enslave towards 100,000 yearly, of which 30,000 are supposed to die by barbarous treatment in the first year, besides all that are slain in the unnatural wars excited to take them. So much innocent blood have the managers and supporters of this inhuman trade to answer for to the common Lord of all. Many of these were not prisoners of war, and redeemed from savage conquerors, as some plead. And they who were such prisoners, the English who promote the war for that very end, are the guilty authors of their being so. And if they were redeemed, as is alleged, they would owe nothing to the Redeemer but what he paid for them. They show as little reason as conscience who put the matter by with saying, "Men in some cases are lawfully made slaves, and why may not these?" So men in some cases are lawfully put to death, deprived of their goods, without their consent. May any man, therefore, be treated so, without any conviction of desert? Nor is this plea mended by adding, "They are set forth to us as slaves, and we buy them without any farther inquiry. Let the sellers see to it." Such men may as well join with a known band of robbers, one case than the other. The sellers plainly own how they obtain them. But none can lawfully buy without evidence that they are not concurring with men-stealers. And as the true owner has a right to reclaim his goods that were stolen and sold, so the slave, who is proper owner of his freedom, has a right to reclaim it, however often sold. Most shocking of all is alleging the sacred scriptures to favor this wicked practice. One would have thought none but infidel cavillers would endeavor to make them appear contrary to the plain dictates of natural light and conscience in a matter of common justice and humanity, which they cannot be. Such worthy men, as referred to before, judged other ways. Mr. Baxter declared the slave traders should be called devils rather than Christians, and that it is a heinous crime to buy them. But some say the practice was permitted by the Jews. To which may be replied, 1. The example of the Jews in many things may not be imitated by us. They had not only orders to cut off several nations altogether, but if they were obliged to war with others and conquered them, to cut off every male. They were suffered to use polygamy and divorces and other things utterly unlawful to us under clearer light. 2. The plea is, in a great measure, false. They had no permission to catch and enslave people who never injured them. 3. Such arguments ill become us, since the time of Reformation came under gospel light. All distinctions of nations and privileges of one above others are ceased. Christians are taught to account all men their neighbors, and love their neighbors as themselves, and do to all men as they would be done by, to do good to all men, and man-stealing is ranked with enormous crimes. Is the barbarous enslaving our inoffensive neighbors and treating them like wild beasts subdued by force reconcilable with all these divine precepts? Is this doing to them as we would desire they should do to us? If they could carry off and enslave some thousands of us, would we think it just? One would almost wish they could for once. It might convince more than reason or the Bible. As much in vain, perhaps, will they search ancient history for examples of the modern slave trade. Too many nations enslaved the prisoners they took in war. But to go to nations with whom there is no war, who have no way provoked, without farther design of conquest, purely to catch inoffensive people like wild beasts for slaves, is an height of outrage against humanity and justice that seems left by heathen nations to be practiced by pretended Christians. How shameful are all attempts to color and excuse it. As these people are not convicted of forfeiting freedom, they have still a natural, perfect right to it. And the governments, whenever they come, should, in justice, set them free and punish those who hold them in slavery. So monstrous is the making and keeping them slaves at all, abstracted from the barbarous usage they suffer, and the many evils attending the practice, as selling husbands away from wives, children from parents, and from each other, in violation of sacred and natural ties, and opening the way for adulteries, incests, and many shocking consequences, for all of which the guilty masters must answer to the final judge. If the slavery of the parents be unjust, much more is their children's. If the parents were justly slaves, yet the children are born free. This is natural, perfect right of all mankind. They are nothing but a just recompense to those who bring them up, and as much less is commonly spent on them than others, they have a right in justice to be proportionably sooner free. Certainly one may, with as much reason and decency, plead for murder, robbery, lewdness, and barbarity as for this practice. They are not more contrary to the natural dictates of conscience and feelings of humanity. Nay, they are all comprehended in it. But the chief design of this paper is not to disprove it, which many have sufficiently done, but to entreat Americans to consider. With what consistency or decency they complain so loudly of attempts to enslave them, while they hold so many hundred thousands in slavery, and annually enslave many thousands more without any pretense of authority or claim upon them. 2. How just, how suitable to our crimes is the punishment with which Providence threatens us. We have enslaved multitudes and shed much innocent blood in doing it, and now are threatened with the same. And while other evils are confessed and bewailed, why not this especially and publicly, than which no other vice, if all others, has brought so much guilt upon the land? 3. Whether, then, all ought not immediately to discontinue and renounce it with grief and abhorrence? Should not every society bear testimony against it, and account obstinate persisters in it bad men, enemies to their country, and exclude them from fellowship, as they often do for much lesser faults? 4. The great question may be, what should be done with those who are enslaved already? To turn the old and infirm free would be injustice and cruelty. They who enjoyed the labors of their better days should keep and treat them humanely. As to the rest, let prudent men, with the assistance of legislatures, determine what is practicable for masters and best for them. Perhaps some could give them lands upon reasonable rent. Some, employing them in their labors still, might give them some reasonable allowances for it, so as all may have some property and fruits of industry. The family may live together and enjoy the natural satisfaction of exercising relative affections and duties with civil protection and other advantages like fellow men. Perhaps they might sometime form useful barrier settlements on the frontiers. Thus they may become interested in the public welfare and assist in promoting it, instead of being dangerous, as now they are, should any enemy promise them a better condition. 5. The past treatment of Africans must naturally fill them with abhorrence of Christians, lead them to think our religion would make them more inhuman savages if they embraced it. Thus the gain of that train has been pursued in opposition to the Redeemer's cause and the happiness of men. Are we not therefore bound in duty to him and to them to repair these injuries as far as possible, by taking some proper measures to instruct not only the slaves here, but the Africans in their own countries? Primitive Christians labored always to spread their divine religion, and this is equally our duty while there is an heathen nation. But what singular obligations are we under to these injured people? These are the sentiments of justice and humanity. This has been a production of FreeAudio.org.